Hi, Dom. Hope you're well.
Hi, Henry. It's nice to see you.
Yes, it's been a bit of a extended break since I was last on, but a lot of interesting things have been developing in the meantime, and you've had some great company from others. So, yeah, I suppose, I mean, you've definitely been putting out quite a few interesting pieces in the last week or so. And I think there's a lot to talk about on the data side, so I'll let you get to that in a moment. But I think that the big one is your change in Fed call. So it would be really useful if you could kind of give us a little insight into your thinking around that and what rationalized that sort of thing.
Sure. So I was at six cuts for this year, and now I'm 2 to 3. And there are really two reasons. The first one is the risk of recession have gone down because of the agreement between China and the US. So before a recession was, I had it pegged at 55% chance, and a self correcting temporary economic weakness. So my good scenario at 20%. Now I'm at 40% each. And it's because the deal with China removes the embargo, because when you have a 145% tariff, it means you basically have an embargo. So we had an embargo on import from China. Now we just have a very high tariff, 30%. So that's more manageable, less of a risk of a manufacturing recession, less of a hit to real household income. But the thing that did not change much with this announcement is a policy uncertainty, simply because there is still no process driving policy. It's still driven by President Trump. This morning, Middle Eastern time. So yesterday, US time, he mentions that he would send letters to countries informing them of their bilateral of their reciprocal tariff within the next few week. So it's still very much driven by President Trump vision and initiative, not process driven. It's clear he's a strong believer in tariff. That hasn't changed. The pause was more tactical than a change of outlook. And that, as we saw with the retail sales, the very high uncertainty is depressing spending. Retail sales, if you look at the control groups, they were below expectations, and you see signs that consumer are spending less. Let's see what happens with proxies for CapEx, and of course NFP. But we've seen a collapse of private sector confidence, and it's starting to impact the hard data. So that's the first reason is I've rebalanced probability of recession and good outcome. The second reason is that the tariff imposition is likely to be much less inflationary than I thought. Before April 2nd, I thought that in the good scenario, we would have second-round effects from the tariff, largely because in the good scenario, the pricing power, and the US is a very highly concentrated economy, the pricing power of businesses wouldn't be impacted much. But tariffs were implemented in such a chaotic manner that the implementation gave rise to this absolutely enormous surge in uncertainty, which is depressing demand, and so depressing pricing power. We've just had two CPI numbers in a row that were below expectations, and we're not seeing much impact on goods. What we are seeing is a decline in super core services, so services excluding housing, driven by a very large decline in airfare. So airlines are facing depressed demand, and they've de lowered airfares by 10% relative to December. So we're starting to see how this depressed demand is forcing businesses to lower prices or keep prices down. And that's why I think, even if we have a good scenario, the Fed is eventually going to cut, eventually, because in my view, they've moved to a fairly hawkish tack. So, for instance, they've been saying there is no sign of a weakening of the hard data. It's all in the survey. And yeah, but what they forgot to say is that until the retail sales this week, there was no post-tariff hard data. The Q1 GDP ended in March 31st before April 2nd. And the NFP was collected during April 12 to 16. So employers didn't have time to adjust their hiring plan after the tariff announcement. So the Fed has turned more hawkish. The reaction function has changed. But as we keep getting data showing prices are not, there is no evidence of second round effect. And that demand is weakened, they'll have to turn around. So by July, I think, based on current trend, obviously uncertainty is super high. So God knows what else will happen. But by July, I think we will probably have a Fed cut.
Yeah. And is it that I suppose the uncertain the policy uncertainty that's really driving where you see things as being more still more dovish than the market? Because you sort of 2 to 3 years is just more than the market's pricing is just over two cuts for the year. Is it that the market's not really kind of pricing in much of that near-term uncertainty feeding through, or is that where it sort of differs?
I think so. I mean, I look at the SPX, which is above April 2nd, and I look and I wonder because the world is a much more adverse place for businesses than on April 2nd. So yeah, I think it's a very diffuse thing, and I think the market needs to see more weak, hard economic data to come around to the fact that the Fed will eventually have to cut and sooner rather than later.
And thank you very much for that. And in terms of, cause, I know you've mentioned sort of fiscal, there's some fiscal discussions going on at the moment. How do they sort of feature in your analysis and your sort of outlook?
So, as you said, it's happening as we speak. There has been a lot of activity in Congress. There is one in the House. There is one committee hurdle that needs to be cleared. The vote is supposed to happen today. If it goes through, we will have a floor vote. The Republicans will have enough votes to get it passed. And then the Senate will have to vote its own version. But the really key element is this committee vote. And if it goes through, we're not getting fiscal consolidation. I mean, we'll see, but we're probably going to see an increase in the debt to GDP, federal debt of 25 percentage point, so to 125% of GDP from about 100% right now. Going to see a continuation of the 6 to 7% annual deficit. So there is a risk that the bill does not clear the budget committee markup this morning because the fiscal conservative are aghast. But I have to say, the administration has done a really good job of getting the bill through Congress so far with personal intervention from President Trump. And he might very well be able to do the same. So we'll see. This creates a risk, of a least stress scenario. We'll see. The risk is not just because the situation is already very unstable, the fiscal situation is very unstable, but following this incredibly, I mean, I cannot describe it strongly enough, but this is really a own goal, tariff implementation and the US disregarding global rules. There is some signs that the treasury market has lost its safe haven status. And so if investors start looking at US deficit in the same way as they looked at UK budget deficit, I think we could be in for a bumpy ride in the bond market. But let's see where things stand at the end of the day. Perhaps a fiscal conservative in Congress will hold their ground and the budget will have to go back to the drawing table. We'll see.
And no, definitely something to watch. And in terms of this week, we've got quite a lot of Fed speakers on the docket. Is there anything you're sort of really going to be listening out for, or any particular people who you're going to be sort of listening for a particular steer on?
So I want to see what conclusions I draw from the retail sales and from the CPI. There are a number of them, 17, actually some 17 in 1 week. That's going to keep me busy. Some are speaking twice, but those I will be looking at, Williams, Musalem. Williams, because he's a New York Fed president, so a permanent member of the FOMC, like the governors. Musalem, because he's one of the more economic-minded speaker. Hammack, because she's a very down-to-earth market person, independent thinker as well. A number of them. So I will be looking for any change in their stance following the data releases we had this week.
Absolutely. And are there is there anything else that you're going to be sort of looking out for this week that's sort of in the coming out in the US and on the data side?
That aside, it's a light week. I mean, we'll have the home sales, but there's nothing happening. The housing market is stuck, largely because of that 30-year fixed rate system we have in the US and the fact that we had been on a 20-year or even more 30-year downtrend in mortgage rates. So everybody's is stuck in their home because of the difference between historical mortgage rate and the current rate. I think the 30 years is at 7%, so nothing happening there. Then we have the S&P, which will be interesting in terms of confidence opinion, but in terms of hard data, the S&P PMI has decoupled from GDP. So for me, it's more of a trading event, and our event monitor has all kinds of neat estimates of how much market should move, but it's not really a hard data point. So all the action will be on the fiscal and also on the Fed.
No, I definitely agree on that front. In terms of PMIs being a little bit less useful, they can be all right for steer in terms of, as you say, sentiment, but it doesn't really feed into the hard data anymore. Thank you so much for your time. I would, as you mentioned, the event monitor. I would definitely recommend our clients check that out. So if you need to steer towards it, please drop us a line. You can get on our website as always. It's great pieces. You can get Dom's analysis of her change of views, all her sort of data reacts, and obviously, as you say, you'll be kept very busy on the Fed reactions.
The one thing I would like to plug is our Trump sentiment index. Now we have a tariff sentiment index, and you can overlay it with markets, some market indices. I will leave it to our listeners to go to the website and check, but the correlation with some of those indices is really good.
Yeah, and that's based on his Truth Social stuff at LLM work, isn't it, that we've
LLM,
got?
so it's a LLM index based on Truth Social and his media interviews.
Oh, that's a very, very, very pertinent plug. So yes, please do check out. And then on the European side, we've put out our rates weekly, so to summarize all our US and European rates views. And also we've been putting out some new analysis in terms of looking at three new trades across the European rate space as well. So please check that out as well. Thank you once again, Dom, for such an interesting talk. And best of luck to all our listeners.
Thanks, Henry.